Hey everybody, just a quick word before we get started here. We want to tell you about this super mega awesome amazing listener party that's going to be happening June 30th at 8 o'clock p.m. here in the Greenwood neighborhood at Naked City Brewery and Tap House. So come on down, it's free to the public. Come hang out with Stack of Dimes, Sibling Rivalry, Grapes of Rad, Sean DeTore's mixtape, and us, Air Raid. The Air Raid podcast is going to be there. It's going to be awesome. June 30th, 8 o'clock p.m. Naked City Tap House and Brewery. We'll see you then.
Air Raid!
Well, hello and welcome, everybody.
Oh, hey.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 98.
Woo!
What is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
I'm not joking around here.
I am your host, Aaron Roden.
Nobody beats me in the kitchen.
And no, nobody beats me in the kitchen. But yes. What? Ah, dang it.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
This, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. But apparently, there's no turning back. I'm not starting this over again. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm hungover from a fantastic fifth anniversary celebration that my beautiful, lovely wife and intelligent wife. We had a great time. We had our fifth wedding anniversary this weekend. Went out to the amazing restaurant here in Seattle called Canless, and it kind of been on our docket. Is like maybe the bucket list. You could call it a bucket list. Like you always want to go to that one place, you know, that one super extravagant, expensive restaurant that that normally on a normal thing. Normal night, you would not go to because it's extremely expensive. Well, we went to that last night, and it was fantastic. It was the best meal I think I've ever had in my life. It was totally worth it. It was totally worth the $800 billion we spent last night. We also stayed in this fantastic hotel, the Pan Pacific, here in Seattle. And Mairead had her first night away from our daughter in 1 year. First full night away from the kiddo, and we had a fantastic time. It was so much fun. But now we are definitely paying the price for that because both of us are very hungover, and I'd just like to say that I am not on a diet today. That's it. We ordered a pizza. It's going to be here soon, and I'm really looking forward to it. So my weekend obviously has been going well. My week, however, leading up to this weekend has been shit. It has been one of the worst weeks I've had in a long time. And let me just tell you about this, okay? Monday starts off great. Sunny. It's wonderful. Then at the end of the day, I get a phone call from a federal agency and proceed to get accused of perjury. It was a little bit of a ridiculous phone call. I found it very unprofessional of the woman who I was talking to. I'm not going to go too much into detail here because I could get in trouble for this. But, this woman accused me of perjury against a federal agency and threatened me with prison time and all this fantastic stuff. Now, it was totally ridiculous. They were unfounded accusations. On her part, but you know, nonetheless, it was the most insulting conversation I've ever had in my life, and it really put me in a state of duress, you know, for obvious reasons, right? Anybody who gets accused of perjury against a federal organization is probably not just something you throw out there, right? But she was obviously using as kind of a scare tactic. She was trying to scare me, you know. She was trying to scare me to get me to say something that I couldn't tell her, I don't know. And I don't, like I said before, I don't want to go too far into that. But anyway, so I'm on the phone, right? I'm standing at the transit center waiting for my bus to take my bus home. And then finally get off the phone with her, you know, totally feeling degraded, insulted, and feeling terrible because, I don't know, if you've ever had a conversation like that where somebody's like wielding their power over you, it sucks. It's terrible. It's horrible. I don't even know. What else can I say about it? I don't know. But anyway, I go and I try to get onto the bus, and I find, as I reach for my badge and my little bus pass, the thing that I have clipped to my belt loop, as I reach for this, I realize that during my phone conversation, where I was, you know, paying attention to this woman who was screaming at me on the other line for no apparent reason, I was pickpocketed. Somebody came along and unattached my ID badge and my bus pass from my belt loop. Can you believe that? All in the same half an hour. Man, talk about a terrible, terrible end to a Monday, man, to a Monday workday. Holy crap. It was horrible. So that's so I had to deal with that for a couple days, of course, the aftermath of having a phone call like that and making sure our legal team was aware of what was going on and everything. So a lot of emails, a lot of phone conversations went on after that. And then, of course, I had to Tuesday morning go around and try to get a new badge and a new bus pass, which, by the way, cost me $10. $10 to get a new bus pass. Luckily, my work provides it and pays for it, but it's still, if you lose one or get one stolen, it still costs you $10 to get the new card, which is even made me even madder, you know, of course. And then the other day, I get home and there is a pool of water under the kitchen sink because it's leaking. Terrible week, people. But now we're in the weekend. We've got a new Air Raid episode for you, featuring, very, very special guest, Chris Cunningham, lead singer and guitar player for, the band Ravenna Woods, local Seattle band here. And they are absolutely fantastic. The conversation that I had with Chris was just great. I mean, super, super good guy, really down to earth, and excellent, excellent musician. So I hope that you find this interesting. We in the second half of the show, kind of get off track and we start talking about horror movies. He is a horror movie buff, and so am I. I love a good zombie flick. I don't know if you guys have gone out and seen Cabin in the Woods yet, but that is something that you need to see. Even if you're not a zombie, or not zombie, even if you're not a horror movie buff, this is a great movie. It's not that scary, but it's done really, really well. And hopefully, I'm not, you know, you can't say anything about the movie because you don't want to ruin anything. But really, one of the best movies I've seen in years. So anyway, we talk a little bit about horror movies. So I hope you guys enjoy it. I enjoyed myself with him. And let's get to it, shall we? A little bit of Ravenna Woods here, off of their album Valley of the Headless Men, which you could find at their Bandcamp site. So that's ravennawoods.bandcamp.com. And this song is called We Want It All. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears with special guest Chris Cunningham of Ravenna Woods. Here we go. We Want It All. Done. Son. Yes. Let's do this. I'm going to eat some pizza. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to episode 98 of the Air Raid Podcast. Joining me here in Dining Room Studios on this kind of rainy, gloomy Sunday afternoon is Chris Cunningham, the voice of Ravenna Woods. How's it going, sir?
It's going quite well. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm a little hungover, like I was telling you right before we started. And it sounds like you're a bit under the weather as well.
Just a little bit. You're not supposed to tell your listeners that you're hungover, I'm pretty sure. Also.
Oh, no, I do that all the time. That's it. See, this is why we're on the fake radio right now.
Okay.
This is just going onto the internet airwaves. So
anything goes.
Yeah, anything goes.
It's like the Wild West.
Right. Do you have the sickness that's been going around?
I did have the sickness a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then I think I vanquished it, and I think this is just kind of more of a mental exhaustion thing.
Yeah.
Going
yeah.
on. But yeah, I'm holding my own. Like I said,
you sound all right.
Thank you.
You look like you're in good spirits. You did turn down the bourbon.
I did. I did.
Yeah,
I might relinquish that though. Relinquish is not the correct word. But
have you been watching as much Game of Thrones as I have been?
I haven't.
No. Oh, okay.
I haven't. So a long time ago, my friend showed me, I think, the first episode where there's all the crazy creatures in the woods.
Yeah.
And you know, that was I was completely sold because I'm total zombie movie buff and
that.
And then
the White Walkers.
Heard, is that what they're called?
Yeah, okay. yeah. Get it right.
It sounds like a racial, like a supremacy group.
Right, they're actually in Idaho. We have some listeners in Idaho. I'm very sorry.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Then I heard that I've been told by friends that the other episodes kind of never really revisit that environment and that made me, that kind of turned me off enough to not pursue it. To be
really?
Honest.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I heard there's a lot of, like, kind of soft core, you know, like.
Yeah, it's basically a medieval
yeah,
porn.
Right.
But, and I think that might be why
Which
so many
great.
People
Don't
like
get
it.
Me wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, but they go back. They go back there.
They do? They go
yeah,
back
yeah,
to
yeah.
the supremacy group? I mean, yeah, the White Wars.
Yeah. Well, you don't see much of them because they're kind of this ever looming kind of thing in
Threats.
The background. They're
gotcha.
Like this threat that's everything's kind of building up,
okay.
I think, to kind of, you know,
like
to
a
like bring them into the fold.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah, yeah. But
all
there's
right.
like there's so much like infighting with all those families that you're kind of introduced to
maybe
in
I'll
the
just,
first episode.
Maybe let me know when they come back in and
I got
I'll
your phone
in.
Number now. I'll text you.
I'll jump in when the creatures are back.
It'll be 2 years from now, season eight or
You'll
something like
fed
that.
Up
yeah.
with it by then.
Yeah, totally. That's the thing with those shows, though, and I've had this conversation with many people about like shows like that. I'm sure you're a person that has gotten it sometime in your life has gotten addicted to some sort of new show.
Walking Dead.
Okay, there
oh,
you
yeah.
go.
Walking
yeah.
Dead. Yeah.
But they need to keep this stuff down to like maybe just 3 seasons. If they know it's a really good show, just keep it to 3 seasons, right?
I think it depends on how it was written in the first. But I totally agree. Like, I'm all for even in like songwriting, like shorter the better.
Right.
But,
right.
But you know, Walking Dead is this massive, you know, graphic novel that has
oh, yeah,
this
yeah.
twisting, turning. So it's like, what do you think about that? I mean, should that also be restricted to just?
No, I'm just saying, just for the sake of my life. Like, you know, like I can't just keep on getting.
You don't want another Lost in your life.
Right.
Right.
Right, man. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think, you know, we probably watched that whole series. And I mean, in like a week or something like that, you know, once it finally came out on DVD,
right.
It's like crack.
Dude,
you know?
I've got to admit, that was, I think, the first show that I moved into this house on Queen Anne with this awesome record engineer, Chris Proff. And I'd never gotten into like series like that. And he got me into Lost. And that was, now I'm always striving to find the next
Lost. Lost. Yeah, yeah.
What did you think of the last episode?
The last episode of Lost?
I liked it. I thought it was good.
I thought it was okay. Like, I got it. I got
right.
what it was supposed to be.
I thought they did a pretty, I mean, you know, it's pretty feel good, but
yeah.
I wasn't pissed like a lot of people were.
No, I wasn't either. And I thought it was a decent ending because a lot of people were super confused by it. Like I felt like I totally understood what it was, supposed to be.
Dude, okay,
they were dead when all the weird shit was going on. Like the whole thing was
weird.
No, the
worst is the contingent of people who think that the entire thing they died
from the plane crash.
Like, yeah. That have you?
I've heard. I've gotten into arguments with people.
Yeah. You're one of those people we just go at each other.
Spoiler
right
alert.
Oh, God.
Spoiler alert. If you haven't watched Lost yet,
let us explain everything to you now.
Right. Yeah. It's your own damn fault because it's years after. Well, Chris, Ravenna Woods, sir, I've been listening to a lot of you guys lately on the interwebs. You guys just had a show with Deep Sea Diver. At Numo's here in Seattle on Friday?
Friday.
And the show went well.
It went really well. Yeah.
Excellent.
It was really extremely fun.
Yeah. Did you like how I cut off the Lost conversation right there?
No, I didn't.
You wanted to keep going. Yeah. Well, let's talk about your band a little bit because when I first I haven't seen you guys play live yet. Okay. But listening to that song we just heard, We Want It All, off of your album, Valley of the Headless Men, I equate it to like hardcore folk rock. How would you explain this music? Like if somebody had never heard your band before, what would you, I know this is the worst question ever.
Yeah, no, I mean, I tend to steer.
Yeah, it is. Or
we tend to steer clear of the word folk and folk rock.
Right.
Because I personally am not a huge fan of those, genres and if you really look at the composition and just like the song, it's an acoustic guitar and we sing harmonies.
Would you say like Americana?
No, not at all. I mean if you needed to put something in there, I mean I guess like rootsy because I'm not doing traditional finger picking
right,
so it's not really, I mean, I don't know. It just has these kind of certain fundamental acoustic elements to it that people tend to attribute to Americana or folk, but it really isn't. Those are specific styles.
No, and that's why I was. I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to make you angry.
I'm
right now.
Steamy.
People at home, he's red in the face. No,
I'm out of here.
But I wanted to use the descriptor hardcore because it's so energy driven. And this type of music, when somebody's on like an acoustic guitar, you don't usually see that. So I was super impressed when I first heard that song. I'm really digging it. So how did you guys kind of come together? Let's start with you, I guess.
Okay. All right.
How did you, I know I'm just like circling that. Where is he going with this? He is very hungover right now.
About the woodland creature.
Yeah, I'm about to pounce. How did you get started playing guitar?
I got started playing guitar probably when I was, I'd say 9 or 10 years old. And my older brother was playing and like my very musical family. My dad was a jazz drummer.
Oh, really?
And my mom, did all sorts of like choral singing, like even opera stuff. And
wow.
And anyways, I my parents made me take piano lessons when I was young.
So it was,
I hated it.
It was forced at the beginning.
Yeah. And the structure was too much and I hated it. And then I just picked up a guitar and basically listened to Nirvana songs on the radio and mimicked them, got a little bit of tips from my brother. And that's how it happened. So I was probably right around 10 years old is when I started playing.
Really? And how old are you now?
I'm 28.
You're 28. Yeah. Okay. So you've been playing for like 18 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. That's a good time. Yeah. I first picked up a guitar and it was like one of those things when you're in like junior high and it was the 90s and, Nirvana was huge. Sonic Youth was big. And, everybody played guitar, so I had to be one of those kids.
Yeah,
right. And I went out. My dad's friend took me over here to Seattle, and we went to the Trading Musician and got a Blue Ridge acoustic guitar, a dent and scratch. It was brand new, but it had a big dent in it, so it was super cheap. But I was always really pissed because I didn't. I always wanted like a Fender Stratocaster.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Why so, did you? Did he? Did he just want you? To
I didn't have enough. I didn't have enough money.
Gotcha.
Didn't have enough money to spend on an electric. So was your first one an acoustic? It seems like most like first guitars are acoustic.
Yeah. I mean, the first one I picked up was one that was floating around the house, and it was an acoustic. Oh, okay. But then, the
move
first...
that move that microphone a little bit closer to your face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your face hole.
Right here.
There you go, buddy.
Yeah, so the first one was just an acoustic, really crappy acoustic floating around the house, like a classical. And then the next one my dad bought, and it was like a Squire electric, you know, probably like $120 bucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Piece of crap, but it worked. And that was what started me, like, you know, making my first bands when I was like 11 and 12. Uh-huh. And
were you into it, like, when you first picked up the guitar? Like, was this the answer to the piano or something? Like, your parents push you into the guitar as well?
No, what? No. They kind of actually really didn't. They were kind of hands off with the guitar. They
really?
Were just, yeah. No, I mean, they didn't even. I don't even think they suggested lessons or anything. You bastards. No, just kidding. No. I was pretty much on my own accord. And, I mean, I ended up playing in bands with my dad shortly thereafter.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding. Playing jazz standards or what?
No, like punk hardcore music.
No shit.
Yeah.
God, your parents sound awesome.
They are really awesome.
God damn it. There was one day I was really into Dead Milkmen. Did you ever listen to Dead Milkmen?
Of course. Punk rock girl.
Yeah, yeah. Punk rock girl. It was the album Big Lizard in My Backyard. There was a song on that album called VFW, Very Fucked World or something like that. Fucked Up World. You remember that song?
I'd have to hear it. I haven't heard them in years and years.
Oh, man. It's stuck in my mind because I was showing a friend this song, you know, because it was so bad. It was saying the F word over and over again.
Right.
And my dad heard it, and he came down. We were sitting on the steps listening to this thing come through my boombox. And he tore the tape out of the boombox and just ripped the tape out of the cassette.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Crazy.
My only.
He would never have played. If he played an instrument, he would never have played punk rock with
him. Yeah, my dad. I mean, my dad literally ended up pulling out double bass drums.
What?
And everything. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
That's amazing.
But the only amount of censorship I ever had from them was when I was, I think I was 11 years old. And I was just really getting into punk rock, like the Circle Jerks and Sex Pistols you know, and my dad, you know, of course was like, keep it like seeing what was going on. And he, for some reason, the album that they picked out that was off limits was Sex Pistols, Nevermind the Bollocks, you know?
Really?
And here's the Sex Pistols. And we went to this record store in Linwood, and I remember him being like, you can get anything you want, but you can't get that. And I went in there, and that's the only record I bought. And he was waiting for me outside to drive me home. And we're driving home, and I was like trying to make idle conversation about something else. And then he was like, of course, eventually, like, so what'd you get? And I made up a band name. He was like, let's see it. And I was like, I don't think you should. And then, yeah, of course, he saw it. And he was just like, really, man? That? Seriously? Like,
why? What
but
was
then
this?
They let me have it. I think they might have held on to it for an hour. And then they're like, you know what?
Right,
this
right.
is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. So do your parents still play music?
Yeah, yeah, yes. They do. Not as much. Like, my mom, she used to do stuff with actually the Seattle Opera and, like, her brother and his wife as well. And then she ended up, she was, like, this crazy, awesome corporate businesswoman and then ended up retiring because, you know, it's not the best lifestyle.
Right,
and,
right.
She loves choral music. And so she ended up directing choir at this like local church in my hometown.
Really?
Just cause that's like a passion of hers. And,
uh-huh.
And my dad, I left, my dad and I had been playing music, you know, from when I was 12 to like 26 or something. And then I left the country for a while and he packed up his drums when I was gone. He like used that opportunity to be like, nope, I'm done. But
really?
he's taken up mandolin since then.
Oh, cool.
And now he's
cool.
kind of like, yeah. going with that. So,
nice.
Yeah.
So do you think, I mean, did you kind of touched on this a little bit, but did you take lessons?
No.
So you
one.
Developed this style of playing acoustic guitar kind of on your own.
Yes.
Yeah. What was your biggest influences?
I mean, in general?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. Like, you know, like some people say like, oh, Hendrix was like the biggest, you know,
Yeah, no. I mean, my...
I'm an Eddie Van Halen guy.
I'm an Eddie Vedder guy. No, I... let's see. I mean, I... To be totally honest, I mean, guitar-wise, what really influenced me was, like, kind of technical hardcore music.
Really?
Yeah, like hammer-on
type work. I can kind of see that. Yeah, yeah,
like
totally.
Mathy. You know, kind of like my some of my favorite stuff, and this applies, and you know, a lot of Ravenna Wood stuff is like kind of very obscure timing or phrasing that fits into regular time, like 4/4, but it's like,
yeah,
it like overlaps and then falls into place, and but it sounds really just kind of like jangly and chaotic.
Right, right.
So yeah, I mean, that would be definitely.
When did you first start kind of playing like that? Were you always just kind of experimenting like that? Because it's a very unique way to play acoustic guitar.
Oh, well, with acoustic, I mean, I didn't even start playing. The first acoustic I ever owned was right when I started playing in Ravenna. Like, I've always played electric guitar, and then I went away out of the country for a while, and I was living on an outer island in the Pacific that didn't have, you know, I couldn't bring anything that would rust.
Really?
That was when I bought my first acoustic. And so I was out there that whole time and had like a little digital 4-track that ran off batteries, and ended up writing and recording like 60 songs out there. And
was that the purpose of going to this?
No. The purpose. Well, I mean, it was kind of,
were just really into Lost and wanted to live that.
Dude, seriously. No, I got hired as a private contract teacher from the Ministry of Education in the Marshall Islands.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It was really fun.
I bet. Definitely. Yeah. So while you're there,
that was my opportunity to kind of, up until then, you know, I'm a huge Radiohead fan, and like my music was going in the direction out of hardcore music into like lots of electronics and like very like processed guitar. Then suddenly I just have an acoustic guitar and no keyboards and nothing. Uh-huh. So I was trying to pack all of this stuff into a guitar line.
Right.
Basically.
Right. Yeah. And so a lot of, like, you're doing a lot of, like, overdubs and stuff like that, or layered guitar?
Yeah, a little bit, but more like, you'll literally only have 4 tracks, so I would have drum machine on 2 of them, and then guitar on 1 or 2, and or vocals on 1. But it was more like literally trying to pack everything I could into one guitar line, you know, and make it sound like, you know, try to add stuff like by utilizing both hands and like hammer-ons and stuff that sounds like 2 different guitar lines.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Really cool. Yeah. And so, did your parents kind of teach you anything? Like, do you know like music theory, or are you just,
no, I'm a,
you can't read music or
I used to, I mean, I'm sure it would probably come back if I looked at it, but I don't. Right. As of now, I would be just, I've been working with the Seattle Rock Orchestra at people lately.
Oh, yeah. We had Scott Teske on the show a little while
awesome.
Ago.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love Scott.
Super great, cool guy.
Good guy. Yeah. But yeah, I was just having this conversation with some of them about that. I'm of no use to you.
Yeah, yeah.
I can sing if you want.
So are you guys, is that a thing? You guys, Ravenna Woods going to be playing with Seattle Rock Orchestra here
pretty
soon?
Oh, man. I'm hoping for it. What's happened so far is they asked me to, back in February, I sang at their Muse concert at the Moore.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was one of their guest vocalists there. And then they asked us to be part of their summer intensive where they have like youth. I'm sure you talked to you about this. It's where the SRO is like reaches out to youth, like a junior highs and high school kids in band who want to apply for these like summer intensive camps.
Yeah, I think we did. I think we did talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they asked us if Ravenna Woods would be part of it. So what will happen is they, like the kids will come in and practice with the orchestra. The orchestra will write stuff to,
Cool.
One of their, writers will do all this stuff to one of the Ravenna Wood songs. And we'll eventually end up performing at the Moore with the kids and stuff. And then I went out with some of the core rock orchestra people and played Aces High School in Everett, which was really fun. We played a set for them.
Aces High School? Is that like a?
It's like an alternative school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then something else is in the works that I'm not sure if I'm shouldn't talk about on air, but it's at the end of the summer. So one of their next concerts, I just found out I'm going to be doing.
Oh, cool.
With them, so
right on.
That's exciting.
Right on. Yeah, that's going to be a pretty cool thing. So,
yeah, it's awesome.
Is this kind of the first band that you've been in that has done pretty well? I mean, just say, and
yeah, no,
you know,
absolutely.
Pretty well. I don't know. That's a subjective
term.
Yeah,
no, I mean, it's the first one of my bands like mm-hmm. that. Yeah, absolutely. I've filled in, you know, been a hired gun in some bands that are, but it's not, you know, I wasn't writing the stuff.
Right.
So yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Uh-huh. So what other bands have you played in?
I've been playing music in Seattle since I was like 13. Uh-huh. So I played with a lot of different groups. My brother's friend. So my brother is a few years older than me, and he was in bands that were connected in this whole other kind of circuit. And I ended up, once they found out I could play, kind of ping ponging between them.
Right.
And it was awesome. Like I love like being an auxiliary member in bands too, like playing bass, you know, and stuff that isn't uh-huh. where there's not like a lot of
it's
pressure.
Like the pressure's off. Up. That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, the pressure is kind of off of you.
Yeah, I went out. Bit. I remember going out with Neon Blonde for a few dates, like long time ago, 2004 mm-hmm. or 5, which is a side project of the Blood Brothers.
Right.
And it's just so much fun to be able to just, I don't know. Yeah, definitely not worry about like if you, I don't know. You can just kind of like throw yourself around and
yeah.
I mean, of course you have to like do a good job, but there's just less pressure. Like in Ravenna, it's kind of like. It's a little bit scary.
It's kind of on you. Yeah. So what's the instrumentation that you guys have in the band, and who plays what?
So the instrumentation is I play as myself on lead vocals and guitar.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm playing drums also in some of the songs.
Really?
And then Matt Badger does all the main percussion drums. Brantley Duke does singing, electric guitar now, xylophone, synthesizers, drums, and mandolin.
Jesus.
And our newest member, Sam, is doing like this full weighted key piano, synthesizer, and drums.
Uh-huh. Cool.
So we're, changing. Yeah. The sound is changing. Like from that CD to like what we're doing now is a big, league.
So are you playing some of the new stuff then, that's what your live shows?
Yeah, Numos was the first one that we played like 6 new songs.
Really?
And
how'd it go?
It went awesome.
Yeah,
like people the response was better than what we could have hoped. I was kind of like, I wasn't sure what to expect because we've just been talking to some people, like kind of gotten raised eyebrows about like adding someone new and mm-hmm. what it was going to sound like, and it, I mean, if that audience was any indication of how it's going to go, then I think that this is going to be a really fun ride.
God, you're such a cheeseball. Such a cheeseball. Well, let's go to our second musical break here. We're going to be playing songs off of your current album, Valley of the Headless Men. When did this come out?
Valley of the Headless Men came out March of 2011.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, it's a really good, from what I've heard, it's a very, very good album. This song's called Graves, and this song has an awesome video.
Yeah, it's kind of underlooked. We didn't really market it too well.
Really? Oh, I just watched it right before you got here. It's really awesome.
It's awesome.
Like this kind of stop motion animation.
Yeah. Max Barsana is the name of the animator. He made all those puppets. They're real.
Yeah. They're pretty. It's pretty cool. It's got a very Day of the Dead feel to it.
Totally. Yeah.
And didn't this song
kind of Day
was
of
this
Dead
song
meets Tim
featured?
Burton.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Was this song featured on a commercial as well?
No, it wasn't. No.
Oh. Okay.
Do you want to use it in a commercial?
Yeah.
Get your facts straight, interviewer.
You should hear the Phil Eck episode. I went off his Wikipedia page, and apparently whoever wrote that Wikipedia page was really wrong.
Oh no. Was he
cool
about
it? Was funny. It was hilarious.
Okay.
You know, fake radio, man. Come on. Okay, this song is called Graves, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest Chris Cunningham, The Voice. We're just going to call you The Voice.
I love it.
Yeah. Maybe not. Maybe not.
No,
Chris Cunningham
it.
Of Ravenna Woods. We'll be right back.
Watching up old lies, we got the souls from the grave. Also, black smoke, targets on tight ropes, we got the souls from the grave.
We are back. That was Graves by the band Ravenna Woods. And joining me here in Dining Room Studios, still, he didn't leave. He didn't leave.
Not yet.
I stopped you from leaving. I locked the doors.
Help, if anyone's listening.
Chris Cunningham.
I'm at 9407. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to take that out.
Oh, God.
of Ravenna Woods, Chris Cunningham of Ravenna Woods, who's giving out my address on fake radio air.
I thought anything goes.
it does, just not telling that. Yeah. So during the break, we were talking about some of the graphic novels that you've read and that I have read. Because of Walking Dead. The Walking Dead's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really great graphic novel. But you asked me if I had read... I don't think I knew that...
30 Days of Night?
30 Days of Night was actually a graphic novel.
Yeah, yeah.
And who's mm-hmm. who did that one?
I'm not sure, actually. Yeah. I can't remember. I was just trying to think. I can't remember the author now. But I know that it was a graphic novel, I think, for years before they turned it into...
Yeah, and it makes sense because it was so... Because we both agreed on this. That movie was fantastic.
Oh, God, yeah.
Even though it was like Josh... Me too.
Awesome.
Cabin in the Woods?
Amazing.
Yeah, dude. Best movie ever. Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah. You're like my new best friend. I love this.
Perfect.
But 30 Days of Night, if you haven't seen that movie and you are into scary stuff... That is a really, really well done vampire movie. One of the best, I think, in a long time that deals with vampires.
Yeah, and it's I actually shudder to to tell people, oh, what is it? It's a vampire. I want to be
right.
But it's not, do the disclaimer, but it's nothing.
Yeah, it's not
you've
your regular
seen.
Vampire
it's
movie.
It's terrifying. They are so scary.
Yeah,
have you seen Stakeland, by the way? Not to get off track.
No. Okay. Is that a show or is...
No, it is a vampire horror movie, and it is The Cormac McCarthy, it's like a combination of Cormac McCarthy's The Road and Dawn of the Dead.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
What?
The vampires in it are
it's like the best combination ever.
Yeah, the vampires are more they don't talk. They're like animals, and it's a virus. And there's different generations. The longer they live, the more they just kind of turn into these weird creatures. And it's following this man and this boy. Boy's family was killed, and this guy picks him up along the way, and they're trying to get to the northern territories, and different parts of the states have been taken over by white supremacist groups, and it's
here
insane.
We go again, white
right.
supremacy.
I know.
You
theme
have,
of
you,
the evening.
You have something. Boy, that's going to be the title of the show. It's going to be the least
the white
listened
walkers.
To. Yeah. That's good. That's good. I like that. So you're a horror movie buff.
Yes, by all means.
Me too. Me too, man. The awesome. First thing, and here's a little window into my world. I cannot, to this day, swim in water where I can't see the bottom because of Jaws. My mom, in her infinite wisdom, thought that it would be a great idea to let me watch Jaws when I was six.
Oh,
and
no.
from then on, I couldn't swim in the deep end of the pool for a long time.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, still to this day, like I have a real big problem with getting into very deep water.
Sharks are in that movie. I don't know how when I was away out of mm-hmm. the country, I would swim in this lagoon. It was an atoll, so like, you know, it's this rim of a giant mega volcano that's kind of sunken. Right. There's these islands. Yeah. So in the middle is this giant lagoon, and then, you know, of course on the other side is the ocean. And I would go swimming in the lagoon practically every day, uh-huh. and sharks would occasionally come in. You know, uh-huh. most of them in the lagoon were coral sharks, but outside on the ocean side, there's a lot of tiger sharks.
Tiger sometimes sharks, you'd and probably see, reef sharks too, right?
Yeah. And you'd see dorsal fins, like from you'd come even outside of my house. Sometimes they would come into the shallows, and you'd see dorsal fins. Oh. Yeah, it was. But I would go out there and swim. And but yeah, that I too. Looking back on it, I remember like being football fields out in the lagoon, like doing Dead Man's Float, and it makes me shudder to think that. Because I was out there alone.
Right, you know? Right. How deep was it?
The lagoon? I mean, it went anywhere.
Did it get up to like 6 feet deep or something?
Oh,
like that?
Way more than that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I mean, really deep. Yeah.
You're an idiot. That's terrible.
But yeah, I'm so glad to hear that you're a horror movie buff. I feel like it's almost a dying breed in a way.
It is. I used to actually buy the Fangoria magazine.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. I used to be so into it, and I don't know, the blood and the guts, and I super big into like special effects. Like I had an affinity
the
for
thing?
The thing.
The original thing. I mean, not the original, but John Carpenter, was it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that movie.
That was great. That was fantastic.
You know the guy who's in charge of the special effects had to be go into a he got checked into like a mental
institution,
not institution, but like, you know, like a psych ward at a hospital
for
because
what?
He had a nervous breakdown because he was just inundated in
so
this world
into it?
Of his, you know, and
really?
he worked himself. Oh, he just went over the edge with
no shit.
Yeah. He's fine now, you know, but like, I was watching a documentary about it and
no kidding.
About like the making of the movie and uh-huh. everything.
What'd you think of the new one? The remake of the thing?
You know what's really funny? I did too. And here's the weird thing about it. I read professional reviews on it online that were scorning it. And this is before I saw it, that were scorning it for being a terrible remake of The Thing. And then I went and saw it.
They did
it,
a pretty damn good job.
Well, it's not a remake. It's a prequel.
Right.
To the
right.
thing.
Yeah.
And that was what I was like when I saw the movie. I was just like, you're professional. Have you not seen the original?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
this movie ends where the old thing begins. Like
right,
how
right.
does that not click in your brain? Like it's not a remake.
Yeah.
So when I figured that out.
Okay. So how does the original thing start? Because
John
I was
Carpenter's
trying to,
the thing starts with the
they come up to the burning thing.
No, that it starts with a wolf running or a husky running across a frozen tundra.
Oh,
and
that's right.
The Norwegians are in the helicopter shooting at it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Kurt Russell, they end up shooting the Norwegians who are going after the dog.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. Totally. I totally forgot about that. That makes it even creepier.
Yeah. Because that's how that
ending.
The new one, that's how, you know, the dog's running off and they're getting
right.
The
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they have the new thing, I think, is streaming on Netflix. Or no.
Oh, really?
No. That's wrong. Never mind. I rented it from Redbox.
Check.
Now I remember. Check. Yeah. Duh. So what else, man? What else? What other horror movies are you into? Like favorite all-time horror movie besides all-time. Cabin in the Woods.
Okay. Yeah, let me think. I mean, I love here's a good one. In the Mouth of Madness. Please tell me.
I've seen but it's been a long time.
Samuel.
Wait, remind me what it's about.
It's about an H.P. Lovecraft type author who is in current time, or it's in like mid-90s, and he goes missing, and this insurance fraud investigator gets hired, who's Sam Neill, and gets hired to find him. And basically what it turns out to be is that this H.P. Lovecraft type writer has like kind of, you know how H.P. Lovecraft like wrote the Necronomicon and stuff, and it's like this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he wrote the Necronomicon. It's
really?
It's this kind of like literary legend that not a lot of people know because people think. Anyways, so he wrote it, and you know, as this kind of like staple of his mythology for all his books.
Okay,
and then he wrote it under a different pen name to confuse everyone. And anyways, so this movie is about this guy who actually kind of contacts these forces on the other side, and he ends up creating this town in like the heartland that's like a combination of every one of his books. And he's like a Stephen King type, H.P. Lovecraft type writer. So
okay.
Very terrible, dark stuff. And this insurance investigator like
goes to the
gets
town.
To the town.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's how so
older,
scary.
Older movie or?
I think it's like mid to late 90s, but done okay. Really well.
I'm going to have to check that out because I don't think I have seen it.
Yeah. I very much, very much recommend that.
Yeah.
28 Days Later, of course, is a classic.
Oh, God, such a good... And the sequel to that movie, too, was done really well.
You know, here's...
Which was surprising to me because sequels to those types of movies are never good.
Mm.
You know? That kind of goes without saying. But I thought that 28 Weeks Later was pretty damn well done.
Here's my quarrel. Here's my wrestling match with that movie. so
we're talking about Grecian wrestling. Is this
yes,
oiled up?
That's
wrestling?
The only way.
Okay, yeah.
Well, Grecian
your oiled up wrestling match problem with this movie. Go. Sir.
Is that Danny Boyle, who directed 20 Days Later,
right.
Is a phenomenal director. I love him. Trainspotting, you know, and
Slumdog Millionaire,
right?
Yeah,
and he directed only the first 20 minutes of 28 Weeks Later. And
right.
I think that's the best thing about the movie. Hands down, when they're in the cottage
break in. That whole scene is heart-wrenching.
I went and saw it with my dad and my best friend in the theater, and we were just agape.
And then
I felt like it lost, you know, the storyline where the dad's like tracking the kids and he's a zombie. It's like, dude. I don't know. It kind of, there were still scares and stuff, but like Danny Boyle's part in the beginning, I was just kind of left like thinking like what? And then I realized that he directed the first part and I was that makes so much sense.
You know what? I don't think I knew that. I remember that he had a big part in the movie, you know,
like producing
or something like that, you know. But it makes sense that first scene was done by him because it was a really good first scene. But I like the part where they're stuck down in like the parking garage.
Yes, I was just thinking that.
Like all the people are stuck down in the parking garage and then
really
and
scary.
Then it's like a wave that's coming through the crowd, like people are turning.
Yeah.
Dude,
that's
creepy
awful.
As shit.
What do you think about, you can change the subject back to music whenever you want, but
no.
This is, I will go forever on horror movies. So
I
have
love
you,
zombie movies.
What do you think about the new Dawn of the Dead?
Because
I love it.
The remake of
I'll
Dawn
just
of the
it.
Dead. I'm trying to remember. That's the one in the mall.
It is the one in the mall.
But
it starts.
I thought it was okay. Like I like those types of movies. So, you know,
let me ask this of you. Like, besides watching Stakeland and definitely In the Mouth of Madness, you got to give the beginning of Dawn of the Dead another watch. Like, just turn off the lights. Like, and. Oh my, that hands down to me is the best zombie sequence ever. Cause it's, and what in terms of this woman, you know, it follows her at her day job and she comes home from a shift and you kind of start hearing signals on her radio, like, and she's just passing by him, you know, being, you know, coming home from work and her and her husband like watch a little bit of TV, go to sleep. And it's in those periods that of, you know, those 6 hours that this city is. Just it's hitting the city like a larger scale what's going on in the parking garage, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they wake up to their neighbor's daughter in their bedroom who's recently turned.
That's ringing a bell.
And her escape from their house through suburbia and getting to the mall is like the most
I do remember that because the kid is like standing there in the doorway or something like that and like comes after the husband, bites the husband, and then she freaks out.
Mm-hmm,
right. What about the beginning of Zombieland?
Yeah, I thought, dude,
that's kind of similar.
To be honest, I thought that until the girls were introduced, I really liked it. And then they got introduced
You thought it went
I love Bill Murray.
What the Bill Murray part, man?
Dude, Bill Murray. Oh, my God. I love that man.
Yeah, and I think they're working on a sequel to that, too.
Really?
Right? Yeah, Zombieland 2 is slated to come out sometime in the future. That's awesome. I'm glad we have that connection.
Yeah, it's a strong one.
Totally. You can always tell the buffs of horror movies because they, boy, love talking about it. And I have yet to see, because... Here's a question.
Okay.
Do you secretly hope that zombies become real?
Oh my gosh.
What would you do?
Here's the thing. My dad and I have a frequently updated zombie contingency plan. No joke. We haven't actually updated in like 6 months, which makes me a little nervous. But we literally, depending on where each of us are, you know, like where I move, like, you know, it's like, am I coming to get you? Or are you coming to get me? And like, you know, who's rallying the guns? Who's just sitting tight until the other one shows up? Like where, you know, Eastern Washington or the Olympic Peninsula,
right?
You know,
right.
Stuff like that.
Where do we go?
And
so are you like a prepper? Are you and your dad like preppers? Have you seen that movie?
Like
the bunker?
No, not like
guys?
That. I mean, my thing is, I need to go learn how to shoot. I throw knives. And,
oh, do you?
Yeah, I throw knives and I collect knives and like balisongs, but that's not going to help
gonna
you with zombies.
No, you're going to be the guy that dies first.
I have a throwing hatchet. I have a throwing hatchet by my bed.
Are you serious?
No joke. Like right, like you put your arm right to the right. And it is, let me tell you, you bring a lady home to your house and have a, you might forget, you know, you've had a couple drinks, having fun, watching a movie, and then you go upstairs and there's an axe by your bed that you forgot about because it's there every night. And they're like, what's that? What is that?
That's a surefire way to make that girl go home.
haven't had a complete turn, like a girl turn around.
Okay.
I'm
okay.
out of here, but I've definitely, it's kind of a good compass for me. If they're like, that is fucking awesome. Then I'm like,
you're
fucking
like, keeper,
awesome.
Keeper. Yeah. Well, Chris, let's see. I think just to finish up the zombie conversation.
Oh yeah. Sure.
I always have kind of secretly wanted it to actually happen.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't answer. Didn't answer your question.
Answer is definitely yes,
well,
right?
Okay.
You're waiting for it to happen.
No, here is what it really boils down
to.
If they're going to be runners like 28 days later, hell no.
No.
Like New Dawn of the Dead 28 days later, I'm sorry. I can't deal with that because it's pretty much like in terms of being in a large-scale ground warfare, like you're like, if you're fighting trench warfare, you know, getting hit by a bullet is just a matter of luck. It doesn't matter how good of a soldier you are, really.
Right.
Like, same thing with those kind of zombies. It's just like,
it's going to happen.
It's just going to be pure luck. Like, but if they're like Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Bring it on. I'm ready.
Okay.
And I'm willing.
Yeah, I'll do it. They're just meat packets at that point, man.
They're just infectious meat packets.
Yeah, that's one thing in those zombie movies. Like, I always get really frustrated. It's like, dude, come on, it's not your mom anymore.
Exactly, dude.
Just
you and
kill
I.
It. Yes, just kill it.
Yes. Every time there's that dramatic scene, I'm just like, are you kidding me? My dad and I have had that discussion. Like, he's like, don't you dare. I'm like, I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
I'd bash your head right in.
I'd put one square between the eyes. Boy, this has gotten really morbid. Yeah. So we gotta kind of wrap things up here. Any Ravenna Woods shows coming up soon? If anybody's still listening.
Everyone's just kind of, really?
It's like,
guys?
What happened? What happened here?
Actually, our schedule is for the first time, we're used to being we play a ton of shows around town, and lately we've dialed it back. We got signed to a national booking agency.
Oh, nice.
And they've been, our agent has been kind of dialing back our Seattle shows, and we...
So you guys getting ready to go on tour here pretty
soon?
Then,
yeah, or? We've done a couple. We did a January and a March tour, and then it looks like we're going to be doing some touring this summer and then fall. But what we really want to be doing, I think we're going to be doing over the next couple of months, is really hunkering down. We just started recording our second full length album.
I was going to ask you about that.
We have one full length album called Demons and Lakes. The Valley of the Headless Men one is like an extended EP. We don't really consider it an album. And so we're working on the second full length, that's, you know, us as a four piece and really expanding a lot. And, we're recording it differently. Before, we always had a very streamlined approach. Like, we had this group of songs. We'd go in the studio. We knew how we were going to record them, and we did it that way, and that's how we sound live. And this time, we're taking a way more experimental approach and kind of doing it in sections.
Are you using the same person that you've used in the past?
Yeah, I mean, I produce all of it. Like, the studio's in my house.
Oh, really?
It's in our basement.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's this awesome engineer, Chris Prof, who built the studio. And so him and I record it together. Like, he takes on a brunt of the. I mean, he's a really good sound engineer, and he does
awesome.
You know, Sound on the Sound.
Yes,
he
yes.
does. He does all of their like the Dobe sessions. That's all.
Oh,
him.
He does all the video for them.
No, he does all the sound.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
like, and gotcha. Pickwick's. I noticed you interviewed.
Yeah.
Pickwick.
Yeah.
Like he did like the Suzula Library thing, and their he did all of their stuff
that
for
was
Sound
so
on the Sound.
Cool.
Their
that
black and
library,
white session.
That library thing that yeah. they did at UW. Wow.
Yeah, that's all Chris
Poff
cool. on Sound.
Wow. And, very cool.
So him and I are total, we're like team when it comes to audio stuff. And, but we're taking a different approach. We've been, you know, recording in all parts of the house and kind of miking up hallways and it's,
yeah,
it's really fun. We're experimenting
nice,
a lot.
Nice.
So,
well, I look forward to hearing that new stuff. Is there kind of like a timeline that you guys are following or?
Yeah. It's,
when is the new stuff?
You know, we need to, we really need to kind of sit down and hammer out a more solid one, but I'm thinking off the top of my head that, you know, what we're going to do is we'll probably have, you know, a 10 to 12 song CD in the end, but we're recording in sections. So we've already recorded four, and I think we're going to polish, two of those up. And by the end of summer, early fall, we'll probably either release a 7-inch or a digital download of these two songs that will be on the record.
Cool.
And then, just to kind of, you know, keep the fire going, as they
say.
And keep people interested. And then the full length, I don't know if we'd be aiming for, you know, just before the new year or just after, but right around that time, I think.
Cool, man. Cool. So, excellent.
Yeah.
And then any shows coming up?
The next shows we have are all out of town. I think the closest one we have is, I want to say, July 28th. Yeah. Whoa. That was awesome.
That.
I loved it, whatever it was. July 28th at Solar Fest in Shoreline, actually.
Okay.
So that should be interesting.
My computer's about to run out of battery.
Oh, no.
That was sound right there. So there we go. Done.
Bam.
Yeah.
Biggity bang.
Problem. Never mind.
Dissolved?
Dissolved.
Is that what you're going to say?
Diverted.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that
whatever.
Works.
It didn't.
Diverted the problem into a different lane of traffic.
right. See, I can take on a horde of zombies. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us this weekend, and we really look forward to checking out some of the new stuff. Will you email us when you get some new stuff in?
I'll hand deliver it.
Oh, awesome. We'll watch some horror movies.
Yeah. Dude,
Hells yeah.
I'm in. Hells yeah.
Well, awesome. Okay, so where can we, let's pimp your wares here. Where can we find Ravenna Woods on the web?
Yeah, we, I mean, you can always type our name into the Google machine.
Uh-huh.
And what will most likely pop up is our Facebook page and, you know, YouTube videos and all that. We have a website, www.ravennawoods.net, that is currently under construction and should be up in a couple weeks. It's being completely revamped with a new designer. So we're really excited about that. So you should definitely check back. We'll put out a Facebook announcement.
Awesome. You guys on Twitter?
We are. We're on Twitter. Yeah.
Excellent.
Definitely.
Excellent.
So
at Ravenna
follow
Woods.
Us.
There
yes,
you go.
Correct.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, sir.
Thanks
and
for having
of
me.
Course, you can find us at air-raid.net, also at the all new CairoRadio.com and MyNorthwest.com, and on Twitter as well at Air Raid Net. So go do that. And remember, one last and here, everybody, before we close out the show. Remember that we're having this big, giant, super, mega, awesome listener party at Naked City Brewery and Tap House there on Greenwood Avenue here in the beautiful city of Seattle. So make sure you guys come out to that June 30th at 8 o'clock. It's going to be all the Seattle area podcasts getting together and having one big party. And we are planning on having some merch there. So all of you that have been emailing me about T-shirts, we will have some. So come and check it out. They're going to be $90 a piece. So without further ado, thank you so much for listening. And we're going to go out today with one more Ravenna Woods song called Tides off of their extended EP, I guess, Valley of the Headless Men. Thank you once again, Christopher.
And thank you, Gonzalo.
All right. Have a great week, everybody.